This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support. Great day in our state. And with us telephonically from San Francisco is Melissa Flournoy, head of Louisiana Progress, former state lawmaker, former head of Planned Parenthood. And she is here talking about the world at large. And the world right now is a very dangerous place. In Louisiana, we have a dispute between the Attorney General and the governor over the governor's mandatory mask mandate. Scott Wilfong, veteran Republican political consultant, is in the House in studio. Jeff Landry, who may very well be the Republican choice to run for governor in a few years. The Attorney General issued a statement yesterday from his bed where he is convalescing from COVID-19. He says, the three provisions of the governor's order, the mask mandate, the 50-person indoor-outdoor gathering and limit, and the bar closure are likely unconstitutional and unenforceable. He does say, although it may be good for personal safety, these may not be enforced with financial and criminal penalties. Both businesses acting under color of law as mask police and actual police acting as mask police could face liability if individual civil rights are violated due to this proclamation. That from Jeff Landry. Scott Wilfong, let's begin with you. Is the Attorney General right, or is the governor right on this matter?
Well, first of all, Jim, good to be here. Are you sure he was in his bed when he issued it? I mean, he could have been in his chair. He could have been at the kitchen table.
He could have been walking around. Could have been jogging around the block.
Who knows? I think he's asymptomatic. I don't think.
Well, I don't know, but I would imagine if he's suffering from COVID-19, he's probably having a few issues.
Well, I think that Jeff is. I like Jeff. He's had a run of kind of some bad press over the last 6 months or so, and he needed this. This was a good opportunity. I think he handled it well. I read most of his opinion on it, and you know, I think the biggest thing, and this may be a two-sided thing, because I'll actually give the governor a little bit of credit. If you read his proclamation, the key issue is that medical exemption. And it's well written in the proclamation that it says a business who relies on the representation of a patron that they have a medical condition shall be deemed in compliance with the order. So I think there's the out. The question, though, is what happens when a business denies service to someone, basically, you know, I think anybody that owns a business knows about, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act and HIPAA and all these medical regulations. What's going to happen when a business denies, especially a critical service, say groceries or pharmacy or something like that, to a person who's saying, hey, I've got a medical condition. I can't wear this. And then they still deny service. I think that's where Landry was going, is be ready. There could be a lawsuit and you might lose.
All right. Well, the governor and the attorney general have been at odds on just about everything, and this is nothing new. They have had a bit of a truce of late, but it's obvious Jeff Landry is disagreeing with the governor, and he sent this to several Republican lawmakers who are
well, they requested it. I think the ones at the beginning were the ones that asked.
And they're probably going right on Jeff now. Melissa Flournoy is enjoying the pleasantry of the Bay Area with no restaurants open, but I'm sure beautiful weather. And out there, the governor has really put the clamps down with the gyms closing. It's back to almost square one. Melissa, what do you think about what's going on in our state with the governor and the attorney general again at each other's throats?
Well, Jim, it's great to be with you and Scott this morning. You know, I just wish other folks would remember the golden rule. You know, treat others, you know, as you want to be treated. You know, I feel like we've lost the sense of respect and concern and compassion. And frankly, I don't understand what the big deal is about masks. So, you know, I think the governor and the vice president yesterday and the day before were talking about bend the curve, help people, slow the spread of disease. I've had friends that have died from COVID. I've had friends in the hospital. I have friends that are recovering at home. This is a real disease, and frankly, I wish everyone would choose to wear a mask if they're out in public. So I'm just not sure why this is such a huge issue and why the attorney general wants to go against the vice president and Dr. Fauci and the healthcare professionals. I think the governor's executive order is correct.
Well, we see now the Trump administration is pushing back against Tony Fauci. looks like Anthony Fauci, who became a household person in the last few months, is now under fire from the guy at the top. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, I think the president can't get his story straight. You know, he attacks Fauci. He's got other folks attacked Fauci. Then yesterday he walked it back and, you know, said, I love Tony and we're listening to the health professionals. I mean, it's just chaos. And so, you know, I wish the grown-ups were in charge of the pandemic. And I think we ought to be listening to the doctors and the medical professionals. I'm really worried about the president's capacity to make good decisions right now.
Scott, yeah, do you share
that?
I
do kind of agree with Melissa, because I think as much as I like Trump and I'm supporting him, I think he made a major mistake early on by allowing Fauci to gain a platform almost equivalent to him. You know, you have to remember, and Fauci has admitted this publicly, so I'm not really criticizing him, but he has a very narrow focus. He's a doctor. He's head of infectious diseases. He's looking at one part of this puzzle. The president has to look at the entirety of it. It's really not Fauci's responsibility to determine what's good for the economy or not. He's answering medical questions. But early on, somehow Fauci got elevated to this position as if he's the authority on it all. Well, no, the president, like him or hate him, he's the one that's got to look at all these different angles, and you've got to balance reopening and livelihoods of people and health care. So, you know, I think that he's finally woken up to that, and he's kind of said, you know, Anthony, you stay over here and tell me what I need to know about medicine, and I'll worry about the whole big picture. So.
All right, and we do have an election coming in short order, not far away, convention's coming. You're going to go to the Republican convention?
I am a delegate to the convention. I had to sign my pledge to vote for Donald Trump last week.
So. Yeah, and you've been an elector too, right?
I've been a presidential elector twice. This will be my third time to be a delegate. But I was not a delegate for Trump the first time.
Okay, when you were an elector back in, what, 2012?
2012 and 2016, yes.
Did you cast the ballot for Obama?
No, because Louisiana voted for Romney.
That's right.
So
you're exactly right.
I cast an electoral vote for Romney.
You didn't have to swallow hard.
Looking back, I almost would have rather voted for Obama than Mitt Romney, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
What a waste of space he is in the U.S. Senate.
Some people think he's a statesman. I bet you like him, Melissa, Mitt Romney.
You know, Mitt Romney actually, I think, is a man of character and convictions and conscience, and is a faithful Mormon, and is worthy of respect. I actually do like Mitt Romney, and I do like people who believe what they believe and demonstrate personal courage.
Well, I'm glad you like him. I'd give him a party switch card right now. We could do without one. We got a 53-47 vote in the Senate. If he wants to go ahead and switch to Democrat, that'll be fine.
Well, at 73 years old, Mitt Romney looks like a movie star even today. He boxed Evander Holyfield a few years ago with his shirt off. Looked pretty good. And one thing he shares with Trump and Clinton and Bush and Quayle and Cheney and Biden, he was a draft dodger. He did not serve his country in his time of war. But like Albert Arnold Gore, who was the only vice president or president to have gone to Vietnam and served in uniform, and some people were up to the task, Scott, and others, like our president, took a powder.
Yeah, it's funny how Gore and Kerry were both Vietnam veterans and couldn't get elected to the office.
And John McCain.
It seems like how much times have changed.
And remember our president saying, my heroes don't get captured.
I like guys who don't get captured.
Here's
I
the
know.
Guy who got out
yeah,
with fake bone spurs.
Now, Jim, I do want to say that I actually think Al Gore did get elected president and was just beaten out in Florida by the...
By one vote. The Supreme
by George
Court.
Bush. Yeah. So let's just be clear about we've had electoral trauma in the country for the last 20 years.
Yes. 877-217-5757 is your number. Doug on Essen. Hi, Doug. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Doug. Oh, let's see here. You're going to have to push him up. There you go. Hi, Doug. I'm sorry. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah, good morning. I think a key point that's being overlooked, and it's the reason why Dr. Fauci's opinion, and not only his, there are many other epidemiologists and doctors who we should be listening to is that the economy goes with the virus situation. You can't successfully reopen the economy if you haven't controlled the virus. That's what we're finding out now. And the same thing apparently is going to be done with the schools. The schools need to reopen, but you can't do it safely if there's no plan and you aren't controlling the virus. But apparently there's a real push to do it anyway, and the same thing is going to happen. You're going to have spreads, more people dying, including more kids this time. And it just is an overall national failure because of the people who have been in the decision-making capacity in the White House.
Thank you, Doug. We'll get Scott's take and Melissa's view on this as well. And we'd like to hear from you, independent of Doug. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Talk@talklouisiana.org, our email. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening to Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757, and talk@talklouisiana.org. Melissa Flournoy, she was a state lawmaker a few years ago, and she is still very active in Louisiana politics, and she is on the left, Scott Wilfong on the right, veteran political consultant, and there are those who believe that this COVID-19 thing, mostly on the conservative side, is overblown, that we ought to just take our chances, move on, business as usual, let the chips fall, and obviously more people will get it, more people will die, but businesses will be doing better, and maybe, maybe, maybe there'll be some kind of herd immunity, maybe there'll be a vaccine, maybe there's hope on the way, but we can't shut down life as we know it. And yesterday on the governor's show, Stan Harris, the president of the Louisiana Restaurant Association, says he thinks a quarter of the restaurants in the state will be closed down by the end of the year because of this. Scott, what do you think about this, the philosophy that we've got to live and let live and disregard concerns about people being in close proximity to one another?
Well, I think that, you know, the most frustrating thing for the population generally has been the change of messaging. I mean, I do messaging for a living, and whoever's in charge, governors, the president, whatever, it's been a constant since March 15th. It's been a constant change of messaging. First of all, we need to shut down to figure out what's going on. Then we reopen. Well, okay, I thought it was always about flattening the curve and keeping hospitals from getting overrun. Now it somehow seems like it's about keeping anyone from even getting the virus. This is a communicable disease that spreads fairly easily. And a mask does not prevent you from getting it. It might prevent you from giving it. But if a mask were effective in preventing it, then people would be wearing goggles because you get it through your eyes and your nose. A mask doesn't cover your eyes. So it's not going to be stopped.
Dr. Wilfong.
Well, I don't need a medical degree to figure that out. If your eyes are exposed and someone spits in your eye, you're going to get COVID.
Okay, but a mask might help.
But as
it's
it stands,
not going to hurt.
As it stands, less than 1% of the country even has the disease. Less than 1/10 of 1% of the country has died.
That we know of has the disease.
I think if it's a higher number, that's actually good because that means the death rate's much lower.
Well,
I hope the rate is 10 times that because we know how many people are dying.
The Disease Control says it is, it's 10 times that. So that would mean that last week there was a report that one out of 73 people in East Baton Rouge Parish have it. Well, if it's 10 times that, that's 10 out of 73, which would mean one out of seven people. So a lot of people have it, and many are asymptomatic, and unfortunately this can be spread even when you're not showing symptoms. Now, Melissa Flournoy, you're in San Francisco. I suspect the California population, by and large, looks at this differently than many in Louisiana do. But it's a nationwide phenomenon, and there are different rules in different places. Is that one of the problems?
I think what we're seeing is that I think the governor's right. People need to try and wear a mask. People need to try and use good sense. I mean, you know, it's like the death of common sense. It's ridiculous. You know, out in other parts of the country, in California and other places, everybody's wearing a mask. It's universal. You can't go in a grocery store without your mask on. You know, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. I mean, clearly people are still out and about, you know, going to work and doing stuff, but everybody's got a mask on.
Well, then why are cases spiking out there? Why are cases spiking and needing to go back into shutdown mode if everybody's got a mask on?
We got 40 million people there.
Okay.
So
maybe it's because a mask doesn't stop you from getting it.
Maybe it's because you got 40 million people. So you're right. If you have a mask, it's not 100%, but if it helps half that, then it's worth trying.
I just don't understand this anger, frustration. It's sort of bizarre to me, sort of the creepiness people think about wearing a mask. I've been wearing a mask when I'm out in public since March. I think it's just common sense. We need to be healthy. We need to wash our hands. We need to use common sense. We need to have just general good personal hygiene. We need to be careful. You know, I agree with Scott. I think people need to be wearing their glasses. If you can, wear your sunglasses out in public. Just use good sense. Look, I have two good friends that have died. I know a lot of people have been in the hospital. I was shocked to see Vic Howell in intensive care in Baton Rouge last week. My God, he is healthy and young. Ted James, healthy and young. There are a lot of really, you know, physically fit folks getting this.
All right. David in Atlanta. Oops, think we lost David. Let's try. You're going to have to push up the caller.
You got to get David back. I cannot be on your show without David in Atlanta.
I think we might get him back. All right. I dumped him inadvertently. Dennis downtown. Dennis, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Jim. I had a question regarding masks, and I wanted to know what was going on with the war of masks between the pushback between GOP elected officials, specifically the attorney general and the legislature, against our governor and against guidance that's been issued by the federal government.
Is this political, Scott? Obviously, these people on this list that Jeff Landry sent this missive to, I bet not one of them voted for John Bel Edwards last.
No, it's not political, but it is ideological. There is absolutely conservatives tend to have a feeling of government, especially putting behavioral restrictions. I mean, I know it's not a perfect analogy, mm-hmm. but if the government told you had to wear a green shirt every day, you know, I think you could convince liberals that that's a good idea using any sort of ridiculous logic you wanted. Conservatives would step back and say, no, I'm not wearing a green shirt. I can make a decision on what I want to wear. So it's an ideological divide, yes. For government to do something that you said might be a little bit, possibly somewhat effective, you're not going to tell people what they have to wear in public.
David in Atlanta. Oops. I tell you what, I really am some problems getting David in. Let's go to James in Metairie. Hi, James. You're on Talk Louisiana with Scott Wilfong and Melissa Flournoy. Hi, Scott.
Well, good morning, Jim, and to your guest. You know, you can't solve a problem when you try to just ignore the problem and try to downplay the problem. At least 13 times, this reckless, irresponsible president has said that the virus will just go away. That started back in February the 10th. It continues through the months. The virus will just go away. He ignores it. He downplays it. You can't solve a problem if you ignore it. And as far as herd immunity goes, recently, I think it was in Spain, to reach a level of herd immunity will mean death after death after death, overwhelming the medical system. Herd immunity is not the solution, and neither is denying that this virus, this disease, is very serious. Trump is incapable of dealing with this national and international crisis.
Melissa, your thoughts about James and Metairie's tirade? Do you think he's on track, or is he engaging in hyperbole?
I just think everybody's kind of halfway lost their minds. I mean, Scott, do you wear a seatbelt? I mean, you know, do we want to be safe? Seatbelts help. There's a government mandate. The cops can stop you if you don't have your seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't understand why, you know, if you don't want to wear a mask, you can say you have a health problem.
All right, David in Atlanta. Let's see if we can get him in. There we go. David in Atlanta. Third time's the charm. You're on with Scott and Melissa. Hi, David.
Good morning, everybody. I don't envy Mr. Wilfong's attempt to defend this totally incapable, incompetent administration. Spain had, I think, 6 new cases over the weekend. New Zealand has 0. The United States had 68,000, I believe. But, of course, the president thinks this thing's going to go away. His economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, said there's no chance of a second wave. His vice president wrote in the Wall Street Journal on the 16th of June, no chance of a second wave. Mr. Wolf, if you can defend the incompetence of this administration, I don't envy your position.
All right. Scott?
Well, you know, again, I think it's it's the crisis of the moment, and it's people wanting to make something more out of it than it is. It is a serious disease. If you catch it, I used the analogy earlier. You know, am I worried about getting it? No, I'm not worried about dying in a plane crash. However, if I'm at 30,000 feet and the engine explodes, I start getting real worried. And the same way, if I come down, I'll volunteer it. I have asthma. I have a medical condition, and if I were to get it, it would be more serious for me. But I'm going to live my life. I'm going to take basic precautions, just like I do with the regular flu, with a cold, pneumonia, tuberculosis, any other communicable disease. I'm going to be careful, and I'm going to live my life.
Going to the gym?
Every day.
877-217-5757. Scott Wilfong and Melissa Fornoy. And then Mark Ballard after this timeout for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Scott Wilfong on the right, Melissa Fornoy on the left, Mark Ballard coming later, and your number 877-217-5757. A few folks lined up to talk with Scott and Melissa. Let's go to Mike in Cummington. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. I have a question for Mr. Wilfong. So, Mr. Wilfong, I'm going to make the assumption that you're pro-life, and in doing so, follow me in this argument. Fully opening up the economy is more important to you than protecting the lives of 138,000 Americans who have already died unnecessarily as a result of this pandemic.
All right. 140,000 now, by the way.
You're assuming that all those people were otherwise healthy and in the prime of life, and that's your flaw in logic right there, is the vast majority of the people who passed away were compromised in nursing homes on life support otherwise. And I'm sorry that they passed away. Of course I am. But the fact is they had comorbidities, which would have probably led to their death from something else soon anyway.
Melissa, is it pro-life to wear a mask?
Yeah, I think it's very pro-life to wear a mask. And I think it's the right thing to do to care about others. And I think it's the Christian thing to do to wear a mask. And I think it's the compassionate thing to do to wear a mask. And yes, 30,000 old people in nursing homes died, but, you know, 100,000 reasonably normal, healthy people, just like you and me, have also died. And people need to take this seriously, pay attention, and care about somebody else besides themselves. And it's a selfish thing not to wear a mask.
So why don't we wear masks during flu season? Like, because 60,000 Americans die every year in flu season.
Jim Kelly says, please tell Scott, if everyone wore a mask, then you wouldn't get spit in your eye. That's true.
but you better wear glasses, too, just in case.
Yeah, now, you brought up abortion, and some other listeners ask about the decision from the Supreme Court a few weeks ago regarding the admitting privileges in Louisiana. Were you cheering on John Roberts?
Now, what a kick in the gut abject failure. I mean, I wonder if did you see recently he right after that he fell out, had another seizure at a country club in Maryland and had to be rushed to the hospital bleeding from the head. I don't know if the Chief Justice is capable of functioning. I don't know what's going on with him. He's had three instances like this in the last 5 years where he's had a seizure and fallen out. So no, a disgusting ruling, especially from a justice who ruled the opposite way 4 years ago on the Texas law. 3 years ago, and then uses that as a cop out to say that
defending precedent.
Well,
precedent.
You know who makes precedent? The U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, there was exact same wording, and he thought that was an affront just to think you could get a different ruling because a few justices had changed.
He doesn't like Donald Trump, and he needs to resign and run for Congress. That's where John Roberts needs to be.
Melissa Fornoy, by the way, John Roberts, despite the fact that he's had some health issues, obviously the president has some health issues too. Joe Biden had a brain aneurysm many years ago. Doesn't appear to be affecting his performance on the court. Your thoughts about Justice Roberts, Melissa?
Well, I think Justice Roberts is trying to follow the law. I think he's a good conservative. I think he has a good track record. I think it's fascinating how fast people turn on Supreme Court justices from the conservative side. Gorsuch and John Roberts have both sided on some issues against the president in the last couple of months. And And I think the Supreme Court is working, frankly, the way it should. We don't need to politicize the Supreme Court.
All right, Travis in Mid-City. Travis, please be brief. You're on with Scott and Melissa. Hi, Travis.
Hi. I think this is being politicized, and the reason why is because I think if Islamic terrorists blew up a nursing home, the conservatives wouldn't say, well, those people didn't have long to live anyway.
All right. Yeah, do you have a point?
No, I think that's an analogy of an act of war from an aggressor against our country versus an invisible disease that infects people at random. So,
Matthew in Mid-City. Matthew, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing? I was curious to Scott if he thought about the difference in the cessation of the virus in countries that that have complied with public safety measures, like.
All right. Well, some other countries have had better results than the U.S. Is it because they are handling this better?
Well, if you look, I read a thing about Taiwan. I believe they're, like, by all measurements, the most successful country in the world. They've had, like, something like less than 100 deaths or something like that. But Taiwan also has a process where when you go to it, you have a medical card that you swipe that tells the doctors every bit of your medical information, tells the government. So if America wants to go to that, which I know there are many out there that would love that, to have a complete socialist lockdown state, but I think that that's not where the majority of Americans want to go today.
Matt, can you pull up Melissa? I'm having some challenges getting her now. There we go. Melissa, what about different philosophies on this? The president is getting blamed for not being more forceful, but we do live in a free society here. We're seeing the same thing in Brazil, where it's raging out of control. Is there only so much a public official can do when we're accustomed to living our lives in ways that are less impaired than other people when it comes to the government deciding what we can and can't do?
I think the government can set the tone for what is quality health care. I think you can have accurate information provided by health professionals. I think you can give good advice about masks and healthcare and other information. I think that citizens have the freedom to be stupid. I mean, that's true. Not wear a mask, not wear a seatbelt. But I wish more folks would be practice the golden rule. I come back to treat others as you want to be treated. And I don't want to die.
All right. Let's go to Leonard, who's been waiting very patiently. Sorry for the wait, Leonard, on Airline. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, Jim. How are you doing today?
Fine.
I agree with you, Melissa. It's only common sense to wear masks, you know, but, you know, common sense is not that common. And this pandemic is showing the true colors of our leaders. With the AG, he's not... He just don't care. That's what it seems like. And it seems like to me that the governor really cares about this state.
All right. Let's go to another Matt in Mid-City. Matt, you're on Talk Louisiana. Thank you, Leonard. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Jim. I had a question for Melissa. Melissa, I was wondering what your thoughts were regarding the issuance of the latest attorney general opinion.
All right. Well, we went over that earlier, but... my guess, Melissa, if you want to expound, you weren't very happy.
Well, no, I just think it's ironic that now you've got poor little Jeff Landry and his wife and family that have the COVID, and he's still issuing opinions to tell people not to wear masks, and the governor doesn't have the right for public health emergencies. So, you know, I don't wish ill on Jeff Landry, but he might not have gotten the COVID if he had his mask on.
Well, you know, and I heard somebody made the comment earlier about raging out of control. Is it really raging out of control unless if deaths aren't spiking, which they're not? I mean, I mentioned it earlier. It might be a good thing if we've got more cases than we think, because the death rate's clearly not what we're talking about. I mean, the fear is what's irrational to me for Americans. Is what are you really so afraid of? You got a less than 1% chance of getting it. And if you do get it, you've got a 98 or 99% chance of recovering. I'm not going to shut my life down. And I have a risk of dying if I drive to New Orleans. But guess what? If I need to go to New Orleans, right. I'm going to go to New Orleans.
Okay. A few emails. Daryl Hunt says, curious to know if Mr. Wilfong's thoughts about Mr. Wilfong's thoughts of what it means to be a conservative today and whether the Trump-led GOP meets the definition.
Yeah, the conservatives are in flux, and that's a question that would take way too long to answer on this show. But I do like that Trump has brought out some things that were that needed to change in the GOP. Some of the intolerance, some of the reactionary folks that have kind of gone their way. You've seen this with the anti-Trump movement, and they're basically on an island now. So overall, yes. I mean, my short answer is it's been good for the party. Yes.
Okay, Johnny. Good morning to you. You're Johnny in Mid-City. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Johnny.
Hello. Yes, I'm originally from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I live in Baton Rouge, and I have 7 family members who all contracted COVID from going to church where no masks were mandated, and I just don't see how it's different from having to wear a seatbelt or not being able to be naked in public.
Well, the effectiveness of seatbelts is statistically far beyond the effectiveness of wearing a mask. Even science will tell you a mask does not prevent you from getting it. And in April, the government was telling you don't wear them. I don't believe that there was some new medical science regarding mask wearing that suddenly came along and Fauci and the Surgeon General and everybody was like, oh, well, we were wrong. I guess we should tell people to wear them. No, it was a measure enacted to prevent people from panicking because Americans naturally gravitate towards fear. And that's kind of sad, actually. We were a generation that fought the Nazis 70 years ago, and today we're curled up in a ball scared of a virus.
All right. So you have been on this show predicting Donald Trump will win. Most polls right now show that if the election were today, he would lose and lose resoundingly. Scott, are you changing your tune?
Well, the election's not today.
No.
There's been no debates. There's been no advertising spent. There's been no direct mail.
But we're getting close. We're getting close.
No, but I would say that the polls were – I saw the average – Real Clear Politics average was 8 points today, and that was about what it was in 2016 against Hillary Clinton.
No, it wasn't 8 points.
Okay, I'll defer to you because you do
and
know
plus she, but she did win by 2.1 points and still lost. So is the president – will he win the overall vote this time?
No, I don't think he'll win the popular vote, but I say he'll get – between 290 and 310 electoral votes.
All right. And Scott may very well be right. The Las Vegas odds still say there's about a 40% chance of that happening. Melissa, if that were to happen, the president loses the overall vote again, this time by even more votes and still wins, will the American people accept it?
Good Lord, I don't know what's really going to end up happening in November. But I just want to go back to something Scott said.
Well, we've got a roll here.
Okay, Scott's happy with the Republican Party without the Never Trumpers. So I just feel like the country is upside down.